Joshua, and he said, I am the God of angel armies. So 133, how about let's stand as we sing this one, okay? 133. Thank you. Good morning. Good to see you all here this morning and a beautiful morning, Groundhog's Day. For whatever that means, not much, right? It's good to see you all here, and as we come to praise the Lord together in that last song, I don't know about you, but that is one of my favorites. Think of all the words to that. Whom shall we fear? Nobody is the answer. Nobody. Because Jesus is the God of angel armies. Some announcements. I feel like I could preach on that, I think. The women of the church, ladies, you have your annual business meeting right after church today. So if you want to head back after the benediction, are they going to be in the high school Sunday school room or where? Yeah? Okay, down the hallway. So lots of decisions. The women from the soup kitchen that we have in December, a lot of that money goes to mission projects, which is wonderful. And that's all discussed and decided on today at the meeting. So very important. Also, we have the Lord's Supper today. If you're visiting with us, we do have open communion. So if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are welcome to partake of that when we come to that point in our service. Also, I want to just call your attention a couple things. The Mercy Meals, our high school youth are going to be doing that next Sunday afternoon in Yankton. We did that a year ago. If you would like to give something towards the expense of those meals, that would be great. Just see Scott or Amy Nuss or Matt and Tricia Fisher. Actually, they'll be putting those together while we are in Haiti next week. So how cool is that? At the school that Peyton, our niece, teaches at, that is their lunch every single day, these meals. So it's pretty neat. And on that note, so tomorrow morning, we fly out to Orlando, Florida for our 4C board meetings. And so I'm on the board of directors. Greg, since he's treasurer, that puts him on the board of directors. So flying down, we have board meetings tomorrow, Tuesday, and Wednesday until noon, and then from there, Ann and I are driving down to Miami, meeting up with my twin brother and his wife, and then very early Thursday morning, flying over to Port-au-Prince, Haiti, and then it's about a five-hour ride to where Peyton is actually at. Would not be that many miles, but their roads are horrible, if you probably want to call them roads, so take a while. And then we'll be back here, God willing, the following Wednesday, the 12th. It's all in your bulletin. Put it on your calendars, okay? When we're in Haiti, cell phone service is extremely limited, as is electricity. So you can call the church here if you need something. Jennifer, call one of the consistory members. They have ways to get in touch with us, okay? Lastly, just two things I want to call your attention. There's a sign up for chancel choir. If you're thinking about that, we'd love to have you sing. And we're working on putting together a marriage seminar the last Sunday of this month, the 23rd of February, on a Sunday evening. So hopefully you can come. Couples, engaged couples, you're welcome. All right, the rest of the announcements you please read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, you are so wonderful and great and all-powerful. You are the Almighty God. And Father, we are so thankful for Jesus, our Lord and Savior. As we think about the cross this morning, as we come to the table that you prepared for us, there's so much on our hearts and minds of thanksgiving and gratitude and adoration for the price that you paid. And that we know you are the God of angel armies. You never leave us, you never forsake us. You go before us, you are behind us, you are above us, you are within us by the power of the Spirit of the living God. How blessed we are. And we are here because we love you, Lord, with all of our hearts. And we want to worship you for who you are. And as we sing, all hail the power of Jesus' name, we know that your name is greater than all. And so it is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So our opening hymn will be number 43 in your hymnal. The words are on the screen. Let's stand together, please, as we sing, all hail the power of Jesus' name. is Lord of all creation. Take a moment, greet those around you, please, before you're seated.
Morning.
An empty spot here, huh? Good morning again. Hi, Connie. Bless you. Well, we'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here this morning, and certainly a joy. I just noticed here, Judy Fierst is with us this morning. Don't mean to put you on the spot, Judy, but it's good to have you. The weather is nice so that she can travel up here from Yankton. And also, today is Florence Houck's 96th birthday. Happy birthday, Florence. Yes, amen. Florence lives in the care center here, so we're certainly glad that she's able to come on her birthday to be with us. Some other things I have written down. Matha Hess's grandson, Brett Anderson, he's in the Air National Guard, and he's been over in Kuwait for suppose the last many months, but she just told me he's back in the States, so we praise the Lord for his safe travel home. Some other things, prayers, continued prayers for Jim Christensen. Jim and Deb, you know them, they're nurses over at the Freeman Hospital, and Jim is in the hospital up in Sioux Falls at Avera. He had gotten influenza A, I guess, beginning of the week, and then turned into whatever else. Pneumonia and just a bunch of junk. So, but he is improving and hopefully tomorrow get to come home. So Deb is here. That's why I'm looking back there. Also prayers for Les Melhoff, Les and Kathy. Les is in the hospital at Sanford. He had took a bad fall this last Tuesday at home at their place outside a trip there. They also stay in Sioux Falls. That's why we don't get to see them very much on weekends anymore. But he's at Sanford. I know some of you had asked me, was it a stroke? And when you asked, I was told it was not. But as further tests have been run, he's had multiple little strokes over the last, I don't even know what to say, months, I guess. So it's all playing into this. So continued prayers for Les and Kathy. It's a difficult time right now. Also, Lee and Pat Palmerville. Lee is just really struggling with some physical issues, so they're not able to be with us either. He is home, but be lifting them both up in prayer. And the last thing I have here, just wanted to mention on Milo, as we're praying for Milo, they did some biopsies, they found prostate cancer. So we want to be praying for them during this time and for what lies ahead. Anything else over here? Johnny.
Lori's birthday tomorrow.
Okay.
Last and fifth.
It is Lori Whale's birthday tomorrow, the last of the 50s. She's going to celebrate it with a bang. Okay. Happy birthday, Lori. Anybody else over on this side? Okay, how about over here? Cindy Herbolt. Robert and Abby Shanefish, it's both of their birthdays this week. I forget, are you just a day apart or how was that? Yeah, that's pretty cool. Happy birthday to both of you. And their first anniversary was just not too long ago either. So, okay. All right, let's bow our heads then. Father, thank you for your goodness, Lord, in so many ways. For Florence, able to be with us today on her 96th birthday. Amen. What a blessing. Certainly, Lord, on today, some of us anyway are thinking about a loved one who's having her first birthday in heaven. And we know that that's glorious, yet we still miss her very, very much. And we thank you for the comfort that you give. But Lord, for the other birthdays mentioned and maybe some that weren't, thank you for each of these individuals and their lives. Father, we thank you that Brett Anderson was able to come home in his unit safely from Kuwait in the Air National Guard. We, as always, Lord, daily we lift up our troops wherever they're serving, here at home and certainly abroad, overseas, as there are thousands of our troops in various places around this world trying to help other peoples, other nations, to enjoy some sense of peace as we do here. And Lord, we are truly blessed in incredible ways. We thank you, Father, for Jim Christensen. We lift him up, and Les Melhoff, as they're both in the hospital. Lord, watch over them. Thank you for your healing hand and power working within them, both in different ways, and you know their needs. We pray for Milo Hauk, Lord. This was certainly a diagnosis that we did not want to hear, but we know it was not a surprise to you. And as we've sang, Lord, you are the one who goes before us, and you never leave us, you never forsake us. So we pray for healing to Milo. We thank you for Curtis Zabe as he continues to heal from a recent surgery. For others, Lord, listed in our bulletin, we pray. Lee and Pat Palmerville, we lift them up to you. And many more, Lord Jesus, who need your healing touch. Some who are going through chemo processes, some who are just finished up with that. Lord, you know each one individually by name. And your power is greater than all. So we thank you for that. And Lord, we pray as well daily for our nation. You have blessed our nation in incredible ways. Father, forgive us for taking that for granted. Forgive us of our sin, the sin of this nation. We ask, Lord, our only hope is in you, Jesus. As we sing that chorus at times, Jesus, hope of the nations, you are. You are. So pour out your Spirit upon us, we pray. Bring revival to this nation once again. Thank you for these things. Thank you for the beautiful weather you're giving us. In Jesus' name. Lord, I want to lift up the board meetings this week of the four C's. Guide us, direct us, that we may say, stay true to your word. Fill the board with wisdom and all that will be there. And Lord, for safe travels to Haiti as well. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read from Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. You're going to hear this verse a lot in the sermon. It's a great verse. For he, God, has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So as we receive our offering today, Ron and Marina are going to sing a special. It's called Who You Say I Am. Listen to the words. It just ties in so well with this whole series we're doing, Who We Are in Christ.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free. Chosen. not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes I am. There's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I'm chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. For me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Oh, I am who you say I am. Yes, I am who you say I am. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am. There's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all so much to praise you for. We have 10,000 reasons and then beyond. And certainly one is for who we are in you, Jesus. That you are who we say we are in Christ. How incredible that is. Blessed beyond measure. And so, with hearts of thanksgiving, we bring our offerings and our tithes here before your throne. This is part of who we are. Our livelihood that you bless us with. So we bring these offerings to you with hearts of worship and thanksgiving and praise, and ask you to take these and multiply them for the work of your kingdom, that we can continue to proclaim that Jesus is Lord of all. In your name we pray, Jesus. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated if you guys would wait here a second. I forgot the consistory. Why don't you come down? I almost forgot to do that. Last Sunday was annual meeting, so we've been doing this the Sunday after. Yep, oh, come down, please. And just so you know who the elders and deacons are, although we're short one gentleman today, but we'll just take a moment. And while they're coming, one thing I forgot to mention in the joys and concerns was Ken Stepanik's father, Larry Stepanik, is now a resident here at the Mental Care Center. And Larry's wife, Deanne, is here. And the one daughter, Barb, is here too. So we welcome you and we pray for Larry at our care center. So our elders, I'll jump back to you, Steve, okay? Fred Schultz and Donna Sattler. Donna's a co-treasurer as well. David Herbolt, he's chairman of the consistory. Justin Plooster is vice chairman of the consistory. And then the deacons, Steve Huber is a deacon and willingly accepted the position of secretary. God bless you. After Brian is, I don't think Brian's here today, huh? Matt Fisher and Ben Crick, Mark Anderson, and Robert Heckenleibel. And Steve Pressler is the other elder who was elected last Sunday. They had a trip planned before he was ever even nominated, so that's why he's not with us today. But let's have a prayer for over these men and our dear lady. Father, thank you for these individuals who are willing to serve you above all, willing to serve our congregation as elders and deacons. And I know it's a task, a calling they take very seriously, as we do for however we serve in this church. So I want to pray over them, Lord, and Steve Pressler too, so he's not here in body, but we in spirit he is. And Lord, we just ask, as always, that you fill us with wisdom, that you guide us by your Spirit as we make decisions in the life of this congregation. Help us to honor you and your word in Jesus' name. Lord, you are the one who sees the future. You know the future of this local congregation, and you hold us in your hands. And we need you and ask you to guide and direct us. Thank you, Father, for all who serve this in the work and life of this local church in incredible ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. God bless you. Okay, now the children can come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time. I can go. Or Steve. Do you want the bench? Anne, do you want the bench?
Thank you. Ouch. Ooh, pinched myself. Good morning, boys and girls. How are you all today? All right. It's good to see you all today. But before I get started here, I want to tell you, remember I told you about the babies? Okay, so after church, you're going to come out to the sanctuary, out to the social hall, and we will give you one per family. Okay? Because that's all you really need. And inside of this will be the baby, and it tells how old the baby is when it's in its mommy's tummy from 10 to 12 weeks. Then there's also a bank that you can put together. And you put your change in there when you have change. And when that little bank is full, you take it to the Alpha Center. And that would be your way of blessing them, okay? All right. But then every one of you will get a sucker. This is from a Tootsie Pop from Elmer Zabe. Now, you probably don't remember who he was, but your parents do. We had his funeral memorial service a little while ago, but what he used to do is when he would deliver fuel, he would leave suckers for the kids that lived in the house. Or he would give them, if you were there, he'd give them to you. So at his memorial, they had a lot of suckers, and we have leftover ones. So you're getting one of these also when you go out, all right? So go out the middle or look for Jennifer or myself to give you these things. All right. You're going to get them afterwards, too, okay? Everything's after, all right? Okay. Well, today, I want to talk to you about God coming to rescue us. Do you know that God's plan from the very, very beginning, when he made Adam and Eve, was to love them and to love us, right? So I'm just going to show you a demonstration here with my paper that I have. I'm going to fold it like this, okay? Then I'm going to take this, fold it like this. See, God's plan is that he wants to make your, he wants to come live in our hearts. This is a home. And he, oops, we need probably somebody right here. Okay. He wants to come live in our hearts. He wants to make his home in our hearts, okay? You guys keep looking over here. Watch now what I'm going to do. This is something that you all have done. Any ideas? What I'm making? You might make these with your homework papers. Ever? Or I got one. How about the bulletins? Don't do it during church, right? Yeah. You make an, whoops, that's a little bent. You make, hold on, a paper airplane, right? See, God could have chose to come down and rescue us in an airplane. Wouldn't that be cool? All aboard. We go vroom, all the way to heaven. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
Come on, you guys. Wouldn't that be cool? Yeah. Of course it would be. But God did not do that. So let's try something else. Let's get another idea. Whoops. God, whoops, there it is. Maybe he's going to come get us in a rocket. Wouldn't that be even better? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, blast off. Would that be cool to go to heaven in a heaven rocket? Did God do that?
No,
he didn't. John 14:6 says, Jesus tells us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God chose to bring Jesus to come to this world to rescue us from our sin and to live with us and to go to heaven one day. It's all through Jesus. He is the one who rescues us. So God could have sent an airplane, did he? He could have sent a rocket, did he? Who did he send? Jesus, and he's who wants to live in our hearts. All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you love us so much, that you didn't leave us in our sin. We know the beginning of the world, you made Adam and Eve, and you made them to be with you, but they sinned, and that sin separated them from you. You had a plan from the way, way, way beginning that you would rescue us, and it is through Jesus, your Son. When we ask him to be our Lord and Savior, he comes into our life. And I pray for these boys and girls and all of us else that are in here today, that we would let your light shine through us to others, so we can tell others that you didn't send an airplane to rescue us or a rocket, but you sent your Son Jesus, and all who believe in him will not perish. Bless these boys and girls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So you get your things after church, okay? All right. You can get your papers now, though.
Thank you, Anne. That was pretty cool, wasn't it? Oops.
I did have to practice that about 6 times.
Yeah. Let's bow our heads in prayer once more before we look into the scriptures this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you that you did come to rescue us. We were lost in sin and darkness, on our way to hell, but you came with your incredible plan of salvation and redemption, and you are our Redeemer. Your word tells us that. And that's who we are in Christ. We are redeemed. So, Lord, as we look into the scriptures this morning again, open the eyes of our understanding, I ask. Speak to our hearts by your Spirit. And speak through me, I pray, to those gathered here, that my words would not be with enticing words of men's wisdom, but that they would be by the demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 14. Now, I've been telling you this is a topical series that we're in right now on who we are in Christ. So what does that mean? That means I don't go through all the verses. I find the spot, okay? Just so a lot of times we do more of the expository. I've got a ring going up here or something, at least for me. I don't know. Expository, which is where you go verse by verse through, which is wonderful as well. Galatians 3, verse 6. Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Now, I'd like you to take your bulletins, too, if you have it, and there's the meditation in the bulletin. This, since you have it there, let's read this together, if you join me. This is from Colossians 1, 11 through 14. Join me, please. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Amen. So those are the phrases, what we are watching for. In Christ, the first one we went over, if you've been here, you know the blanks to fill in and your outline, but the first in Christ reality of who we are is we are a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5. I'm not going into these because I don't have time today. Second, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. You see the verse listed there. Third, we are God's workmanship, or as New Living says, we are his masterpiece, created in Christ. So this is what our identity, who we are. The song was so perfect, that special, who you say I am. Why do we need to know this? There's many reasons, but one, when we know that our identity is actually in Christ, then when things come at us in this world, the flaming fiery darts of the evil one, and they come all the time, don't they, the attacks. I think of Bear Bryant. He was football coach of the Crimson Tide, right? Am I right on that? And he had always said, he coached that team for many, many years, and he had said, if I ever quit coaching football, I will die. You know what? He retired, and I don't know if it was 2 weeks or a month later. I didn't re-look this up, but it was a very short time. He died. What am I saying? That was his identity. You know, he, Bear Bryant, he had that certain hat he always wore. I can't even describe it. But if you watched, you know what I mean. That was his identity as football coach of that team. That's who he was. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in our careers and our jobs that it, when that changes or comes to an end, we can almost fall apart or end up down in the dumps of depression because that was our identity based on that job. Maybe it's in high school or college sports that this football player or whatever, we heard all week about Kobe Bryant, and what a tragedy, huh? What does that say? It says we not a one of us knows when our last breath will be. Who would have thought, what was he, 43, 41? We have no clue. That's why we better live every day as if this were the last. And we better know that we know Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Because we do not know when that last breath will be. We think we will. He had life all planned out, was doing great things. That was his last breath that day. Our identity needs to be in Christ, number one, so that when things around us change or start falling apart, maybe because of sickness or disease or cancer or whatever, which are terrible things, that we know, you know what? I am in Christ. I am a new creation in Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am God's masterpiece created in Christ Jesus. And today, going on, number four, in Christ, I am redeemed. Wow, we're going to talk about what that word means here in a little bit. I am redeemed. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. For God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom, see, there's the phrase, I've been telling through the epistles, Romans all the way through all the letters in the New Testament. Those are the phrases you watch for. In him, in whom, if it's talking about Jesus, in Christ, through Christ. That's who we are. It's who he says we are. It's very important. Through who, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What did it say? He rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Another translation says, from the kingdom of darkness. Maybe you're thinking, I was never a part of the devil's kingdom. You were. Yeah, we all were. Before we came to know Jesus, we were all a part of the devil's kingdom. That's how we are born, spiritually dead. Was it possessed? No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. But part of his kingdom, yeah. You're either part of the family of God and know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or you are part of the other kingdom, the devil's kingdom. And Jesus came to rescue us, it says, from the dominion of darkness. I was thinking back to this Reverend Al Perrette, who was here years ago at our mission fest, 12, 13 years ago at least. And he, some of you maybe remember him. He lived a hard life, dealing drugs and probably involved in everything that goes with that, until he came to know Christ and he was radically changed and transformed. He's been into the ministry. I know he's battled cancer. I guess, is he still living? Okay, I've sort of lost touch with what his life, but he spoke that day, and I remember afterwards talking to him a little bit, and he said, to me, this was his statement, I want to tell you how great the darkness was that I was living in. The devil had him, control of him. But you know what? Jesus is greater, and he rescued him, and he redeemed him, as he does every one of us, if we will come to believe. Joni, I forgot to ask, did you get that catechism question? Oh, thank you. Let's put that up there. This is number one of our catechism, and it speaks of this very thing in here. So what is your only comfort in life and in death? Now, the answer, I know at least for the last 20 years for sure, This is how the young people learn it. Now we go back further, you older ones, you little bit words maybe here and there different. But let's say this together, okay? Ready? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Go on. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. Stop for a second. Right there. Has set me free from the tyranny of the devil, because the devil is the tyrant. Right? Adolf Hitler was a tyrant on this earth. And the tyranny is the kingdom, the dominion that that tyrant rules over. He has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. Let's read on. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. Amen. Love that answer there. So redeemed, here's a definition for you. Got some blanks there. What does it mean when we say redeemed? It means this: to be rescued and delivered. To be rescued and delivered from the bondage of sin. I'll come to the second part here in a second. Sin is bondage. Horrible bondage. We see it all around us. And Jesus came to rescue us out of that sin. Now, depending, like for this Reverend Al Perret, his deliverance was great and dynamic and very evident for all to see, because the bondage he was in was craziness. Now, our rescue out of sin is just as great. It might not be as dramatic, but it was just as great, okay? Going on in that definition. So again, to be rescued and delivered from the bondage of sin and the penalty of God's violated law. You know what the penalty of his violated law is? Hell. Hell. Spiritual death. Yeah. So Paul is in this, his picture, as he's coming, writing these words inspired by the Spirit of God, he lived in a day where slavery was very common. And in that 2,000 years ago world, the Greco-Roman world, as we call it, at that time, a slave, if he could ever get money, which was nearly impossible, could buy his own redemption. How's a slave going to get money? Because they're not paid. Or someone else could buy his redemption out of that slavery. And that is what Jesus did for us. We are born into the slave market of sin because of the sin nature. And Jesus came and shed his blood. That was the ransom price. He said, 1 Corinthians 6, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost who lives in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. We just read that phrase in that answer. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. And that price was the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, honor God with your body. Honor him with our decisions of life, our choices. We are to honor him, not destroy this temple that he gave us, but honor him. How about Matthew 20, verse 28? It says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, listen, and to give his life as a ransom for many. He redeemed us. That's what that word ransom is. I don't know what, we're sort of in this mode right now. I'm talking Ann and I for whatever reason, I'm not sure, but we've been periodically, when we have time, trying to watch some of these World War II movies that are on Netflix. They're not Christian shows, but it's just intriguing, incredible, very sad. Most of them involve what the Nazis did to the Jewish people. We came across another one not so long ago. It was called Playing for Time. playing for time. And it was in this concentration camp where they had the women. They showed this focused on the women, the Jewish women, as prisoners. Of course, they shaved them bald and they're just half starving. And there was this group of women, I don't know, 20, I'd say, in the movie anyway, that were very skilled musicians in their day, in whatever country they came from. Skilled Jewish musicians, pianists, vocalists, harpists, all the stringed instruments. And the Nazis got, when they learned of it, they got that group together, put them in a building, a barracks, all of their own, and they had to practice and practice and practice. Again, they were just skin and bones, sunken in. And that is what kept them from the gas chambers, because they would play, one, for those German officers. Secondly, they're hard shows to watch, I think. When a new group of Jewish men and women were brought into this camp and were being ushered to the gas chambers that they didn't know about, this group of these women had to go out and stand on all these steps and play. This just baffles my mind that a people could become so evil and think this is all okay. And so as these other fellow Jews were marching by to their death, these women were playing. That's how horrible the devil is. That's how horrible his bondage is and can become. I think it was the Finnish people from Finland in this that came to rescue this camp. And my mind is... just a second. Went back to Sam Nuss and his stories of when he helped liberate one of those concentration camps, and those people coming out just as skeletons and a glazed look in their eyes. But they were set free. They were set free. Thank God for what the countries did, ours included, at that time. So maybe it's, you know, this is the 75th anniversary we've just heard of the liberation of Auschwitz, that concentration camp. These need to be told, these stories, so that we know what happened. Okay, let's get back. Colossians 1 again, 13-14. God has rescued us from the dominion, the kingdom of darkness, and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption. That means in whom we have. We have been redeemed. It is past tense, and it is also present tense, and we are redeemed. And there's a verse in Psalms 107, verse 1 and 2, says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." And then verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." You're redeemed in Christ. The Bible says so. So we got to say so. Number one, I worked on this last week with you. What, is it anything that we have done to deserve any of this? No. No. It's all because of we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior and who we are in him. We can say these things. We can say to the devil when he's attacking our minds and our thought life, which he does so well, say, "In the name of Jesus, Satan, I am not a part of your kingdom any longer. I have been transferred into the kingdom of the Son of God, and he is my Lord and Savior. And you know what? I have been redeemed. I've been set free from your slave market and your bondage and all of that nonsense. So just get out of here in the name of Jesus." You got to use the name of Jesus. That's where the power is. It's not in you. It's not in me. It is only in his name. And it is in his name that Satan trembles. Scripture tells us that. James. Oh, he says, "Oh, you believe in God?" That's talking just about the mental assent. "Oh, you believe in God," James says. "Good for you. Even the devil, demons, the devil believe in God, and they tremble. They tremble at the name of Jesus. As God's child, we have every right to use his name in prayer, to speak his word. So I'm just realizing I'm not going to get through this whole sermon today, okay? Because I've had a lot of sidetracks. Praise the Lord. But I'm not quite done. We'll pick up when I come back in 2 weeks, God willing. So we can say this because we are in Christ if we know him. So I want you to say this again with me, okay? I thank you, Father, that in Christ I am a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. I thank you, Father, that you have made me to be the righteousness of God in Christ. Thank you for hearing my prayers. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have made me to be your workmanship, your masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that because of Jesus and the blood he shed on that cross, I am redeemed. You have rescued me from all the dominion of the powers of darkness. And so, Satan, you take your hands off me and my family in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can talk to the devil. I don't mean in a good way, okay? I'm not talking about that. I mean, in Jesus' name, we have authority over all the powers of darkness. Praise the Lord that we are redeemed. Let me pray. Father, thank you. Oh, it's all the more joyous to come to this table today that you have set before us. As we think about our redemption that you've given us through your Son, Jesus, through the cross, through the blood shed upon that cross. And so, Jesus, we say thank you. Thank you for being our Lord and our Savior and our Deliverer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If the consistory members would go to the back, please, and prepare for the Lord's Supper. In the bulletin, there is a prayer of confession here. We are told in Scripture that as we come to the Lord's table, we are to examine ourselves. What does that mean? Number one, and most important, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That's number one. Secondly, then, we come and we confess our sin before him. We ask him to forgive us. So that is what this is part of, as we sing when the elements are being distributed, that time as well. Just take that time, fellowship with the Lord. Let's pray this prayer together, though, please. Heavenly Father, as we come to this table that you have prepared for us, we want to say thank you for Jesus. Thank you for redeeming us from the curse of the law. Thank you for Jesus, the one who knew no sin and yet became sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. As we examine ourselves, we confess our sin and ask you to forgive us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'd come, please. Again, if you're visiting with us, we invite you to partake of the Lord's Supper. Let's bow our heads once more, please. So, Father, as we humble ourselves before you, we come to this table and thank you for these elements, this bread representing your body, Jesus, that was so badly bruised and beaten and spit upon for us. Your body, that you bore the sin of all of mankind upon yourself. Let this element, these elements be sanctified for this time and this purpose, and this wine and this juice, representing your blood, Jesus, that was shed upon that cross. We thank you for it. Please, Father, as we partake of these elements, move among us mightily by your Spirit. Draw us near to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll hold the bread together and all partake at once. Okay. If you'd like to sing along, we're going to sing 319, Near the Cross. If you want to just sit quietly, that's fine as well. Yeah, go ahead. Apostle Paul said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's take the bread together. Thank you, Father, that we can find rest in you alone. And you alone is our strength. You are our strength. Thank you, Jesus, for going there to that cross in our place. We love you, Lord. Amen. The innermost ring of each tray has the grape juice. The other two rings contain the wine, for whichever you prefer. Okay. And we'll sing, this is out of the Praise Book 132. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's take the cup together. Thank you, Father, the precious, the all-powerful blood of Jesus Christ. It's incredible that you wash us and cleanse us and make us white as snow. You forgive us of all of our sins as we confess them to you. Thank you. Thank you. 100,000 times over, we say thank you for the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you, consistory. So we are going to sing and say our thank you. The last song will be 10,000 Reasons out of the Praise Book, which is number 120. So let's stand together as we sing this with all of our hearts. You sing it out. I know the kids know it, so...
Like there.
Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you. May He go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you His peace. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for the beautiful singing and music today, Marina. You may be seated. One thing I forgot to say, so next Sunday, our North Central Regional Minister will be here to deliver the message in that. So please don't everybody take vacation. Okay? Show me when the cat's away, the mice won't play. All right? You'll enjoy meeting him. This is a new position that we have in the Four Seas. He lives up in North Dakota. God bless you.